Welcome to Sewindipity on naturechannel.fm. Join Shelley Levis, where she will explore gardening trends, homesteading techniques, and useful tips that will help your garden grow. Shelley will share the latest gardening gadgets on the market today, discuss eco-friendly gardening methods, and fun do-it-yourself projects that will have you thinking outside the pot. Special guests will reveal their gardening secrets and advice on how you can create a garden just about anywhere, whether it be a small urban balcony or a large open backyard. Gardening should be easy and gardening should be fun. Prepare to be inspired to get growing with Shelley Levis on Sewindipity here at naturechannel.fm.
Good afternoon, all you plant geeks, eco warriors, and gardenpreneurs out there. You are listening to Sewindipity on naturechannel.fm. And I am your host, Shelley Levis, and I'm talking to you live from the Fraser Valley in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. So I hope you guys have had a really great week. I've had some wonderful guests on here in the last couple months, and today I'm going solo. I'm going to be speaking to you guys about a few things that I feel is about getting really real. But in the meantime, the last week I've been quite busy creating oils and vinegars out of my herbs and flowers. And man, do I ever have a lot of tomatoes. You grow a couple and then you think, oh, what's one more tomato plant? And then all of a sudden they're already at the exact same time. So I've been coming up with different ways for us to enjoy tomatoes. I'm going to be doing some tomato jam this week. I just did a nasturtium jelly, and I made a tomato pie. And now tonight we'll be just having just fresh chopped herbs on top of tomatoes with a little bit of one of my oils or vinegars drizzled over top. And we are loving it. It's delicious that way. Now, the show today, I wanted to get really real. I thought that, you know, a lot of the posts and a lot of the shows I've done so far have dealt with, you know, specific topics where we talked about, you know, 10, you know, night garden plants or ways to create a small garden on a patio. And today I wanted to move a little bit more into dealing with the person that is the gardener themselves and how they are growing and how they are moving forward and using garden metaphors and quotes and sayings and how they relate to the very real things in our lives. So, you know, one of the things that really kind of prompted me to want to do this is that I don't know if you guys have heard about the new app that's out there. It's called Periscope, and it gives an opportunity for people to go live streaming on Twitter. So it's a really cool thing. If you're a Twitter follower or you tweet, you should get involved with Periscope and start following some people that you really admire and enjoy. And if they're Periscoping, you'll be able to interact with them while they're talking live. And, you know, a lot of the bloggers out there are doing little bits about how, you know, a DIY project or craft that they've got going on or how-tos. And as much as those are interesting and I like to watch those things, the ones I've been really enjoying are the ones where people kind of get really real. The ones that where people ask questions and say, hey, you know, I had this thought today and it was a deep thought and I wanted to share that with you. And I really enjoy those because I find them inspiring and they're very motivational, and that get you to dig deep into the well of your thoughts and what's going on in your heart. And I thought that today's show, I wanted to kind of maybe explore that a little bit and try something a little bit different by going through some of my favorite garden metaphors and sayings and stuff like that, and how I really feel that they apply to my experience so far on my journey. So I've got about 10 lessons, I guess I could say, that I've learned or that I'm still learning and developing, and how certain, you know, garden quotes kind of inspired me to do that. And of course, there's always, you know, the first one we'll start right at the beginning is about beginning anything, about any project or anything that you're going to take on in your life, beginning a new direction, you know, trying a new idea or whatever it is that you know that you need to start, and understanding that the first step is always the beginning of a long journey. Now, one of the things that I read recently today, and I thought this was good, was gardens are not made by singing, "Oh, how beautiful," and sitting in the shade by Rudyard Kipling. And it's very true. We can't just wish for things in our lives and hope that they're going to come about, or just keep wanting and wanting and wanting something and not really make any steps towards it. Growing anything really starts from the ground up, and you have to be really willing to get dirty, work hard, and dedicate yourself. And I think that we've got a whole generation that's coming up that kind of thinks that wishful thinking or entitlement is going to be how they're going to achieve their dreams. And it's not like that. You start at the bottom everywhere. My very first job was at Dairy Queen. I mean, I was 13 and a half years old. I wasn't even old enough to have a social insurance card number, but you are still out of work at 13 if you want to. And, you know, I just remember that was my very first job, and it wasn't glamorous by any means. And I learned a lot. It was probably, I've learned the most of my lessons in that job that created the work ethic for me for a long time going forward in my life. And because I did have one of those, I guess, shitty jobs, I learned right from the very beginning about growing and being able to climb a ladder always starts with the first rung. And I think that we all have to understand that when we're undertaking anything, it's not going to feel good at first. It's going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to be unknown territory. And we got to just dive in. We just got to, you know, go for it and get our hands dirty, because that's the only way that you can learn and start to build anything from the ground up. Now, I know that, you know, some of the lessons I learned when I was at Dairy Queen, one of the ones I have to tell you the story is I remember just doing all the tasks that were on my list, and the boss came over, and I'm kind of just standing there looking around, and he says, "So what are you doing right now?" I'm like, "Oh, well, no, nothing. There's nothing to do." And he goes, "Oh, there's nothing to do." I went, "Yeah, I've did everything on my list." And he goes, "Okay, just a minute." And he went and got a bucket and a little spatula scraper, and he came over and he handed it to me, and he said, "Okay, now go around to all the tables and pick off all the gum that stuck underneath." And I was mortified. I thought he was joking. Like, I just could not believe I was going to go and pick gum off the bottoms of tables from people's sticky, chewy. Oh, it was so gross. Some of it was hard. Some of it was still kind of soft and gooey. It was the worst job I'd ever undertaken. And it all came from me saying, "There's nothing to do." And I realized very quickly in that moment to always find something, always stay busy, always continuously do work that you want to do. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck with jobs that you don't want to do. And I have used that metaphor throughout my entire life, you know, get the job done and be willing to pick off the sticky gum as the first steps on any journey, and understand that it's not going to be easy to get there and that starting at the bottom is necessary. And I think that this is also the lesson that I passed on to anyone when I was in a management position, so that they can understand that there's always something to do, and don't let somebody else find something for you. It might not be the job you want to do. I think too that, you know, a lot of times with the generations that are coming up, you know, this automatic instant gratification that they're seeking, it's not going to be there. It's not like that in the real world. And we all know that, for those of us who have had a few turns around the sun. And, you know, it's just, we understand that it's nothing starts really from the very beginning of anything that easily. It really does take a lot of work, and you don't get to those high paying jobs overnight. You've got to earn your stripes, and you got to respect the people that have gone before you that earned theirs already, and not assume that you can do their job, because behind them is so much experience that led them to that portion in their journey, in their life or their careers. And I think that a lot of times that a lot of people just forget that, especially moving into any new situation. Even when you're doing like a horizontal move into another corporation, you have to respect the ones that have been there before you, even if you feel like you are more knowledgeable, because they've been there and they've earned their stripes and they've worked hard to get to where they are. So it's one of those things where you got to understand that you don't want to step on toes. And, you know, you don't want people to step on yours either. So that's one of the things I think that when learning for myself, beginning is one of those things, is that any journey that you're about to take starts with the first step. And I know for myself, when I started getting into blogging and writing, in order for me to get to where I am right now, speaking on a radio show and being able to be an event speaker and do the things that I really love, like there's moments that I realize that I am accomplishing my goals and my dreams when I first started. And I have people that say to me, "Well, you're so lucky, you know, you're blogging and you get, you know, stuff, samples and stuff sent to you and all this stuff is happening. You're so lucky." I'm like, no, I made my own luck. I've worked at this for 4 years. I worked a full-time job. I would get home at 6:30 at night, make dinner, water plants, sit down at my computer and work until 1 o'clock in the morning. I did that for 4 years. And the reason why I did that was because I believed that there was something at the end of this that would bring me to where I am now, to be able to have the freedom to choose for myself the career I want. And that only came when I was willing to put in the hard work in the beginning. And it doesn't feel like you're getting anywhere at first. And even sometimes halfway through, you know, like even right now, I don't know, I haven't really made it. I definitely don't feel to myself that, oh yeah, I'm there, I've got everything, because there's just so much more. But the more I grow and start to accept the things that are coming my way, the more things come. So I see that where I started and where I am now is very, I'm progressively along further in my journey than I ever would have imagined from that first step. And this brings that, my next thing is number two, which is to set goals. I like this quote by Audrey Hepburn, "To plant a garden is to believe in tomorrow." When you're setting goals, you need to know what you want. And I think that, you know, it's not just about, oh, I want a big car and a nice big house. What are those things supposed to do for you? A lot of times what you're seeking is joy. You're seeking what you think that's going to bring you, which is joy. And it's amazing how that shiny new object, that joy of having it, wears off fairly quickly, and you're desperately wanting to get into something else and find the next best thing. And I think that, you know, setting goals is really important. I know for myself that I set quite a few goals. There was a worksheet, and I do this in the beginning of January, and I think that everybody should do this. You shouldn't just go into, I know they, you know, simple, oh, New Year's resolutions never work. Well, they shouldn't be resolutions. You're not trying to resolve anything. They should be goals of things that you want to accomplish this year. And one of the worksheets that I had encouraged me to write down 101 goals for the year. And make them as little as the smallest little thing, like, you know, eating chocolate pie, to something really, really big, getting on TV. And set all those goals out and write as many as you can, and let all those dreams and all those whims and all those wishes and urges just come up through you, pass through your pencil onto the paper, and just set it aside. And I just went ahead for it. And you'd be amazed that after you get to about 25, it gets hard. You're like, well, okay, I got the 25 things I want, but now what other things do I want? Well, maybe I want to go, you know, cliff diving or something like that. Well, that's really outlandish, but I'm going to put it down anyways. And the whole idea is just to really explore what you're looking for. And I think in a way you can see from that what you're emotionally seeking, what it is you're looking to fulfill your life. It's not always just financial. It's some sort of an experience that you're desiring to have that would complete how you feel or bring joy. And as I did manage, I think I got to about 89. I still seriously, I could probably go back to that list and add another 15, no problem, because my certain things have changed throughout the year, and they will daily. But it was a good exercise. And, you know, recently I decided to go back to that list back in about a month ago and just take a look at it, because I completely forgot that I had written it. And I was really shocked at myself, with myself, about how many on that list I actually had accomplished. You know, being able to write for a local newspaper, being able to write for a local magazine, to be able to do this speaking gig, to land, blah, blah, blah. And I just started going through my list going, I did. I did that. I did that. I did that. And I guess in a way, it's kind of like the idea behind the vision board, of having a vision board up there, and you can cut out fancy pictures. If you are one of those people that really needs to see things visually, and that's how you your senses that connect for you the best, then doing a vision board is definitely the way to go, and have something that you can visually look at it on a daily basis. But also just writing the goals down, somehow you planted a seed there. The seed has been there because it was written down. It's a goal. It's legitimate. It's on paper. It means something. It's not just a floaty little thought. It's there. And of course, you should always set timelines with these goals as well. And I did have several timelines that of what I want to achieve by when. But a lot of them, I just let them be loose. I just thought, you know, I'm going to put it out there, and this is the things I want to try to achieve this year. And I think that having that goal or that carrot in front of you, you know, it reminds you why you're on the journey. And because there's going to be days that are going to get really tough, and it's going to be really hard to keep going on you know, your path once you've begun something, whatever that project or that career path or whatever it is that you're about to begin. Like even going to yoga, you just got to have those milestones that says, I got to make it to at least 30 classes. And I did have that milestone, and I did achieve that milestone. And those things, they keep you, they're just inspiration. They keep you going. And at least, you know, if anything, you can kind of celebrate that you reached, a milestone whenever you get through stuff like that. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and discuss a few more different metaphors that I think are really important to comparing to our life and our goals. Talk to you in a minute.
You are listening to Sewindipity with Shelley Levis on naturechannel.fm, airing live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find archives and more at sewindipity.com.
Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable. Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious. Find us at PrasannaTea.com. Prasanna Tea. It's tea the way it should be. Start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at natureschannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature.
Pets share our day-to-day struggles, adventures, and special moments, and they love us unconditionally. For all these reasons and so many more, host Peggy Hoyt shares her extensive knowledge in estate planning to help you ensure a healthy and safe future for your pet. Tune in to All My Children Wear Fur Coats every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on natureschannel.fm.
You are listening to natureschannel.fm, live talk radio that helps connect you more deeply with nature. Natureschannel.fm, it's where we grow. Join the Horses, Heart, and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on natureschannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for horse wisdom straight from the stall. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for horse wisdom shared straight from the stalls.
Nature's Channel is where you grow with amazing talk, radio shows. We talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live at Find Archives at natureschannel.fm.
You are listening to Sewindipity with Shelley Levis on natureschannel.fm, airing live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find archives and more at sewindipity.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome back, guys. I am talking about garden metaphors and how they relate to, our lives and how they can inspire us and how closely, like when the message that's there really is much more deeper than just the sentiment about a garden. It's about talking about the garden of our lives. And I basically have 10 lessons that I'm discussing today. I've already talked about new beginnings and setting goals. And now I want to talk about tending to your dreams. Now, this quote is by Lou Erickson, and it's, gardening requires lots of water, most of it in the form of perspiration, which is no doubt about it. You've got to tend to your dreams. You've got to do something every single day that works towards them. And this can be tough because we get all wrapped up, like, maybe you got a full-time job and you really want to sell your art, or you want to start a blog, you want to write a book. And, you just get stuck with your daily routines and you get up and you make the coffee and you're rushing out the door and kicking the dog, for a walk and all this other stuff. And all of a sudden you just find that by the end of your day, you've run out of time to tend to your dreams or tend to that goal. And you've got to do something every single day. You have to ask yourself sometimes when you're doing something like a menial task. And I am a social media girl, and I can find myself getting swallowed up into watching a lot of cat videos on Facebook or some stupid thing. And I just look at them, I just wasted an entire hour of my life, and not one part of it was productive. I mean, I might have laughed a few times, so I guess that was good. But the point is that it didn't move me closer to my goal. It's important that you stop every once in a while and to be mindful of what you're doing and ask yourself this question: is what I'm doing right now bringing me closer to my goals? And you might find that, no, you know, actually, I'm just watching a stupid movie right now when I could really actually go read a book that, that inspires me and is helping me work through something or towards something. Maybe that's more productive. And if you find that it's difficult that you kind of forget to do these sort of things, because it's easy, you get wrapped up in your day, you can actually set your cell phone to have a little chime that has little reminders. There are apps that are out there that'll help, you know, trigger a little reminder, a little bell goes off. You look at your phone, you're like, oh yeah, that I'm supposed to drink more water, drink a glass of water. Well, gee, I forgot I haven't drank any water since this morning. And stuff like that, that helps you move towards your goals, whatever it may be. Now, I really firmly believe that you're either working on your goals or you're working on someone else's. And you just got to, sometimes you don't have a choice. You have to have a full-time job or you have to work. I do. I have to have another job as well to supplement my income because I'm not quite there yet. But I am working every single day towards my goals. There's not a single day that doesn't go by that I'm not doing something that is productive towards where I want to be. And I think that this leads me to my next thing, which is to have patience. You have to have patience when you're trying to achieve anything, whether you're painting an art piece or sewing a sweater, knitting a sweater, anything. Everything requires patience. You can't just rush through anything. And I like this quote by Liberty Hyde Bailey, which is, "A garden requires patient labor and attention. Plants do not grow merely to satisfy ambitions or to fulfill good intentions. They thrive because someone expended effort on them." And that's true. Dreams don't just come because you want them. You have to give them patience and give them time. And everything develops at the time that it should. You can't rush something if it requires a little bit more development. Even with myself, I find that as I'm moving along in my journey, that I do a lot of projects and I push, and then I'll have a big push of growth towards my goal. And then I hit another curve, which is another learning curve for me. In order for me to get to the next stage, I need to learn more. I need to grow more. And however that's going to be, whether it's going to be through seminars or, reading books or learning something online about how to fix my blog and that thingy thing that's not doing the thing I want. And, you know, you're always got to be learning more. And this requires patience along your journey. That's the only way you're going to get closer to those goals, is to understand that everything has a time to come into, you know, ripeness. It has to take time to grow. Like anything, you pick an apple too soon, it's going to be sour. If you don't weed enough in the garden and stuff like that, it'll be overrun. So you've got to take the patience and the time to nurture it. And I also think this leads me to my next thing that I want to talk about, which is you got to be able to accept what you can control and accept what you can't. One of the worst mistakes, and this is a quote here, one of the worst mistakes you can make as a gardener is to think that you're in charge, by Janet Gillespie. And it's so true. Like, I mean, we go out, got everything under control, and then all of a sudden, you know, aphids move in, or we have a horrible wind that comes through here and wipes out, you know, a big branch or something, or my perennial flowers or something, and there's nothing I can do. I've done everything I can to grow a perfect garden, or especially even my own life. If I feel like I've done everything that I can to move towards goals, I'm going to have setbacks. And sometimes it's going to be way beyond something I can control. And that's not just with, acts of nature. You can't always control people that are around you. You're playing a role in other people's lives, in your friends and family's lives. That role is what you play for them. But that doesn't make it your role for you. Your role is your role for your own life. And you can't allow things that happen around you or, you know, especially if you have disputes with families and members and stuff like that, to control who you are. That's the role that you play in their life, and there's a lesson that needs to be learned there. And you have to accept that you cannot control that. You cannot control how they feel. You can only control yourself. And this can be a real challenge sometimes, because it's so easy for us to get beaten down by others and other people's opinions when you're working so hard towards something. The smallest little sarcastic remark can be, you know, it can break you. I like this quote as well. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies, but shine anyways. Just go and do it anyways. you're going to be in a situation where you're not going to please everybody. You're going to be in a situation that even though you think that what you're doing is a good thing, people are going to look at you and they're just going to, they're not going to accept what you're doing. And a lot of times, like that crab in a crab pot, the reason why crabs stay stuck in a pot is that every time one tries to climb out, the others pull them back in. And it can be very easy to kind of, you know, try to stay a member of your tribe being your family, your friends, and your coworkers. And you want to fit in with the tribe. You don't want to, you know, shine too much and extend yourself in a way that makes you, puts you outside of the tribe because you're not being what they need you to be for them. And sometimes when you're shining and you're accomplishing your goals, you're going to have people that are going to look at you and they're going to, they're not going to accept you for what you're doing. They're going to judge you. And this really is a judgment about themselves. You have to understand that this is not always going to be about what you're doing, that there's some sort of a jealousy there, or that they're unsatisfied with their own lives in a way that they haven't achieved all their goals. And what you're doing shines a glaringly big spotlight on ways they have maybe sold themselves short. So understand that sometimes you might inspire in others positive change, but you can also inspire in others negative emotions as well. And you can't control that. And you just got to accept that you can't. You can control how you're going to react to them when they try to put you down or try to squash you down a little bit and pull you back into the crab pot, because you will get those people. And it's not one of those things where people are blatantly will come right out and say it. It's just a little remark. It's like a little festering bomb that they say. And you don't think about it. You just kind of like, you know, it didn't feel comfortable to you when they made that comment. And you walk away and it kind of bothers you. And then the next day you wake up and you're raging angry. Why did they say that? That's not who I am. And they had no right making that judgment about me. And there's something that's triggering that with you when you feel an emotional connection or some sort of a response to something that somebody's commented on. This is when you got to go deep and find out, is this my stuff? And why is it triggering something within me? I need to find out what emotional belief I have about around that, a value system I have in place that's making me react to that negative comment. Because my mind tells me I shouldn't feel that way. My heart tells me that I shouldn't feel that way. But instinctively, something bothered me about that remark. And somehow it relates to a belief system I'm holding in place. And perhaps it's not something that is coming forth for you right now because you should believe this about yourself. Perhaps it's coming forward and it's bothering you now because it's time to let it go. And when stuff comes up like that, acknowledge it, let it go and release it and carry on. And just accept that you cannot control things that are going to go on around you, even regardless of other people. But there's going to be circumstances that are going to roll into your life that you weren't expecting that is going to totally set you back. And you can't allow those things to put you on your ass and make you stop. You can't sit by the right side of the road and cry, well, that's not fair. Life isn't fair. Nothing's going to be fair. Things are going to roll along and you just got to go with it. You got to figure out how to be adaptable. You become fluid. Be the water that rolls around the rock that's in your way. And sometimes these little obstacles were meant to be put in your path because you were going the wrong direction and you needed to go a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left to see something else. And that was the right way to go. I think most of us can agree that in retrospect, when we look at challenges that have come along in our lives, that we can look back and say, you know, some good came out of that. This changed me this way. You know, I became more conscious of this, or I learned this, or I met that person. And those challenges were set in place simply for that. So don't be so upset about not being able to be controlling of everything. Sometimes you got to let it be kind of roll out of control because new things can arrive in your way, in your direction and on your journey that you never would have expected and could not have even come your way if you tried to hold on too tightly and control everything in your life. So I think that for myself, I learned a lot of that in the last couple of years of just, you know, accepting what I can change and what I cannot change and just letting things happen and learning how to deal with other people and their emotions and how they're going to feel about what I'm trying to do. You know, I'm not sure everybody is like, oh, wow, you got a radio show. I mean, I got a few people that are going to say, that's cool. And then there's going to be other people who are like, well, who do you think you are? And I don't care. I can't control their emotions. It has nothing to do with me. If you don't like what I do and don't want to support it, that's okay. I wasn't looking for it anyway. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to shine on. All right, let's take a quick break, folks, and we're going to talk about some more garden metaphors and how they may relate to your life, too.
You are listening to Sewindipity with Shelley Levis on Nature's Channel.fm, airing live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find archives and more at sewindipity.com.
Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable. Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious. Find us at PrasannaTea.com. Prasanna Tea. It's tea the way it should be. Start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at naturschannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature.
Pets share our day-to-day struggles, adventures, and special moments, and they love us unconditionally. For all these reasons and so many more, host Peggy Hoyt shares her extensive knowledge in estate planning to help you ensure a healthy and safe future for your pet. Tune in to All My Children Wear Fur Coats every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on naturschannel.fm.
You are listening to naturschannel.fm, live talk radio that helps connect you more deeply with nature. naturschannel.fm, it's where we grow.
Join the Horses, Heart, and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on naturschannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for horse wisdom straight from the stalls. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for horse wisdom shared straight from the stalls.
Nature's Channel is where you grow with amazing talk radio shows. We talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live at Find Archives at naturschannel.fm.
You are listening to Sewindipity with Shelley Levis on naturschannel.fm, airing live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find archives and more at sewindipity.com.
Welcome back. We are talking about garden metaphors and how they relate to our lives and the journeys that we are taking as we, navigate this crazy thing called life. I've talked about five lessons so far about beginning, setting goals, tending to your dreams, and having patience, and accepting the things that you can and cannot control. So now I want to move into keeping it clean. And I'm talking about your mind. I love this quote, and I'm sure you guys have heard it. Your mind is a garden. Your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. The bottom line is that you can't focus on the problem. Now, we're all going to have problems in life. Focus on solution. What is the solution? Don't get stuck in that negative auto voice that goes off in your head. And I do it, and I know I do it, and I know you do it too. And I just play this scenario over my head, and I find all of a sudden it's just mindlessness. I'm watering my garden, and all of a sudden I start having this mind chatter going on where I'm playing out a conversation I had, or something that something I want to say to somebody, or this scenario that happened at the bank yesterday, and those are all of it is not progressive in any sort of way. And sometimes I have to like really snap myself out of it. This takes practice. This is about becoming more conscious. And I think that the more you work on your consciousness and being self-aware, that all of a sudden you can find yourself thinking these thoughts. Now you're not going to not be able to turn it off. The brain just wants to keep chattering. When you go to sleep, it doesn't stop. That's what dreams are. It just keeps going on and on. And it'll constantly play back certain things. And the more focus you give to it, the more it plays it back. The more focus you give it to it, the more it plays it back. It thinks you want to hear or to think this thought. The thought it becomes repetitive. Don't let these negative thoughts run you. You have to try to really get focused. When you hear it, when you see or start realizing consciously, hey, I'm thinking that thought again. You know, do something to snap yourself out of it. Try to focus on to another frame of thought, or think about your to-do list or something, anything that'll get you out of that, that requires, put on music. Music is a great way to get when something that's going to, you know, require, get you singing and toe tapping, something that lifts you up will break that negative thought pattern. But whatever you do, don't sit in it. Don't sit in it because it's unproductive and it serves nothing to get into a negative thought pattern or ruminate over stuff that you can't control or that upset you. You got to keep your brain clean and free of the weeds. Great ways to stay in a positive way is finding help and sharing with others. So this is one of my number seven. I think it's really important that you, here's this quote here, friends are like flowers in the garden of your life. And I really do believe that you should never get too busy to not take care of nurturing these relationships. I'm a very busy girl, and you know, I know all my friends, they've got so much going on in their lives. But, you know, I don't hesitate that if one of them says, hey, can we get together this week? I try to make it work. I shuffle things to make it work. And I'm one of those people that my friends can call, and I will at any time make an effort to get together with them, because it's important to me to nurture those relationships. And they break up the monotony in my life. They're a way to share my feelings and share, you know, what wonderful things and news that's going on in my life. And so I think that you got to really nurture those relationships that are in your life, not just with your friends, but with your family and your spouse, and taking that time to make sure that you're constantly caring for those relationships, because they're the most important thing. They're the spice in life. But I also think that outside of that, doing things that are charitable or giving back in some sort of way. I don't know what it is about doing something really nice, you know, a random act of kindness for others that makes you feel alive and lifted. And I've, you know, for myself, when I started blogging, when I started, you know, putting out random things, and at first, you know, I didn't have a lot of people out there that were listening to me at all. I mean, I was randomly talking. I'd be lucky if I had 60 visits in an entire month. But every once in a while, I would get a comment. The comments are a little bit less these days because people are busy and they don't stop to leave a comment on your blog. But every once in a while, I do get one, or someone will email me with something that inspired them, or that they really appreciate my point of view, or, hey, thanks for this great idea, or, hey, I was going to do this for my wedding, thank you. And there's just something behind that that feels really good, that, you know, I was sharing my ideas and sharing what I, you know, my creativity. And I think that if you've got anything in you that's creative, and we all do, I hear people say, I'm not creative at all. And that's complete baloney. You are, you have it somewhere, something you're really good at. You should be sharing that. You should be giving your gifts to the world. It is actually a disservice that you have been put into this human body. You have this soul that has these gifts, and then you keep them to yourself. Why would you do that? You're not here to do that. You're here to share. You're here to contribute to humankind, to the planet, to the journey of everyone. And something that you think is not important or that shouldn't be said, you know, nobody cares about that, or no one wants to see that, that could be the one thing that inspires somebody somewhere else to spark an idea. Maybe it's your idea that sparks somebody else with the bigger idea, but it had to be a catalyst. It's that beginning thing, remember, where the idea is just first, the seed is first planted. I get a lot of my seeds and my ideas from something else that somebody else has done that makes me realize I can grow upon that. Or, hey, what if we did this? Or how about we take it to this level? And that's what inspires me to build from there. And then yet again, ideas that I present or the creativity that I share helps others build upon it. We're supposed to be communicating and connecting and being one with each other in an energetic way. And this is the way you can best do this, is to share. You also have to understand, too, that sometimes, and I like this one by Kent M. Keith, he says, if you do good, sometimes people accuse you of a selfish ulterior motives, but do it good anyway. And he's absolutely right. Sometimes you can't win. There's going to be those people that'll be critical of the actions that you do. And I find that too, that sometimes I'm really just enjoying something that I really want to wow someone. I really want to go out of my way to make it absolutely spectacular and extra special. And then you'll have that other person raise an eyebrow going, oh, you're just a show off. And I'm like, well, why would I do anything? Why bother doing anything unless I'm going to do it at the very best that I can? What is the point of just doing something so-so? I don't understand people that just think, well, it's good enough. Nothing is ever good enough for me if I know I can do it better. And why wouldn't I do it better? I use my gifts and my talents to the best of my ability at all times. And almost all the time, it's received well. And people appreciate the extra effort that I go to do something for them. And I don't care if people are going to roll their eyes and think that I'm just trying to be whatever. I don't care. Did that person smile? Did I achieve my goal? Or were they gleaming? Did they love it? Then awesome. Then I was doing exactly what I wanted to do. And it makes me feel wonderful. So do it anyway. The other point I want to point out is being grateful. And I think this is one of the most important ones on the list. Because we can get so ungrateful in our lives. And we can say to ourselves, I don't have this, and it's not fair, and I work so hard, and I can't, and all this other stuff. And, you know, I read this quote, and I think this is great, by William Byron Logan. We spend our lives hurrying away from the real as though it were deadly to us. It must be up there somewhere on the horizon, we think. And all the time, it is in the soil right beneath our feet. Sometimes, everything you need is right in front of you. Everything you really need is right in front of you. Your wants are different than your needs. And you have to really look at that and say, do I have what I need? Do I have people that love me? Do I have food? Do I have clothing? Do I have shelter? Do I have water, fresh water? I mean, if you have all that, you're rich beyond belief. You're richer than a good portion of the population on this planet because a lot of them don't have any of that or don't have some of that. And the only way you can be really grateful is just to appreciate. You know, that's how gardens really allow you to focus on gratefulness. There's something about being able to go out there and grab a fresh tomato, that's cherry tomato, that's beautiful and red and sweet, and pop it in your mouth. It's still warm from the sun, and you can taste the sugars. You're just so grateful for that moment of being able to eat that you made that. You're grateful that you have the ability to do that. And there's so many times when I walk around the garden that I'm stopped and I'm grateful for how beautiful the sun is today. I'm also grateful when we have a huge rain pour. I'm thankful for that too. So there's so many times and moments in my day where the moment of feeling grateful, it can supersede all those other negative emotions, especially when I was talking about earlier about keeping it clean. When you got those negative thoughts that are running through your head or you're feeling a little down and out because something didn't work out for you, you need to shift your focus and just say, well, what can I be grateful for right now? And there's so many little things. Are you able to, do you have two hands that work, that you can help pick those flowers in the garden? Be grateful for that because there's people out there that have all sorts of arthritic conditions or they don't have a garden for hands to pick from. You know, so I think that, you know, when we exercise gratefulness, then we begin to experience wealth. We experience abundance beyond our what we believe is what we have. You know, I don't focus on what I don't have anymore. I feel wealthier and abundant more than anything. And I'm not comparing anymore. I'm so grateful with what I have. I don't have to compare myself to people that have more. More doesn't mean better. And certainly, when you look at third world countries and you go, people that have visited them, I don't know how many times. I watch a lot of documentaries. I've never had an opportunity to go and visit any of these places. But when I do see them, and I watch a lot of these things, you know, the kids smiling. The kids are smiling. The people are smiling. And yet they're wearing rags and walking barefoot. And yet they're giggling and smiling. What do they got to smile about? You know, that's what I would think. You know, most people would look at that and go, boy, look at how hard done by they are. But for them at that moment, they're just grateful that they're able to smile and wave at a camera and they got a Tootsie Roll from a cameraman. And to them, they've just been blessed beyond belief. And that gives them reason to be grateful, even if it is just in that moment. And I think that finding that gratefulness in your heart for the things and the people that are around you, the things that you do have, that's the biggest abundance that you could ever have, that you can instantly give to yourself, that would give you instant gratification. Literally, being grateful gives you instant gratification. If you stop focusing on the what you have nots and what you have. So, yeah, we've talked about several different ways metaphors can relate to our lives. I've got one more big one right after the break, so let's take a break and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Serendipity with Shelley Levis on NaturesChannel.fm, airing live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find archives and more at serendipity.com.
Organic, loose leaf, and simply delectable. Prasanna Tea Company strives to help people find balance, connect, and live in wellness. We source the finest tea leaves from pristine farms around the world and blend them with some of nature's purest gifts, creating unique infusions that are healthfully life-enhancing, blissfully aromatic, and positively delicious. Find us at PrasannaTea.com. Prasanna Tea. It's tea the way it should be. Start your week off in a beautiful way. Come to Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service for a powerful and beautiful eco-spiritual celebration where we honor and support ourselves through the reflection of nature. Join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time here at natureschannel.fm. Visit thechurchofnature.org to find out more about Nature Sanctuary Sunday Service and the Church of Nature.
Pets share our day-to-day struggles, adventures, and special moments, and they love us unconditionally. For all these reasons and so many more, host Peggy Hoyt shares her extensive knowledge in estate planning to help you ensure a healthy and safe future for your pet. Tune in to All My Children Wear Fur Coats every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on natureschannel.fm.
You are listening to natureschannel.fm, live talk radio that helps connect you more deeply with nature. Natureschannel.fm, it's where we grow. Join the Horses, Heart, and Soul Herd and Sarah Willerson on natureschannel.fm Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern for horse wisdom straight from the stall. Horses are the heartbeat of the earth, and they help us attune our own hearts with our souls. They encourage us to remember that we are part of the harmonious flow that is nature. Tune in every Wednesday for horse wisdom shared straight from the stalls.
Nature's Channel is where you grow with amazing talk radio shows. We talk about animals and gardening, natural health and wellness. Listen live at Find Archives at natureschannel.fm.
You are listening to Serendipity with Shelley Levis on natureschannel.fm, airing live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Find archives and more at serendipity.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Shelley Levis talking to you live from Fraser Valley in beautiful British Columbia, Canada on natureschannel.fm. And today I'm discussing metaphors, garden metaphors and quotes and sayings that relate to real life. Now, I've just gone through eight and I said I had one more. I lied. I have two and they're both really big. So let's get right on with it. Next one I have, which would be number nine, one of the lessons I've learned, is about letting go. Here's a quote by May Sartoon, and it is, "A garden is always a series of losses set against a few triumphs, like life itself." Ooh, letting go. Anger, unforgiveness. These are poisons that you drink every single day if you're not willing to let it go. You're the one. It's like throwing a stone at yourself expecting it to hurt the other person. I know I totally messed that quote up, but it's something I'm sure by Buddha. But the point is that it is absolutely useless to have unforgiveness in your life. It's really easy to preach to somebody about forgiveness until you yourself have something to forgive. It's really hard. And I think all of you guys can think of a situation where you might be in a situation where you're so stuck in anger and unforgiveness with somebody right now, or you have something that you kind of moved on from that, but you still don't forgive that person or whatever has been done. Perhaps it's even something that you've done yourself. Maybe you don't forgive yourself. And that's not what we're here for. I mean, we're such a small blip of time on this planet that this wasteful, heavy energy of carrying around anger and unforgiveness erodes and rots away at the things that you could have that bring you joy in your daily lives. It's like this big, ugly shadow that just sits there and casts across your heart against everything that would possibly bring you joy. It is the hardest thing to do to forgive. I believe it really is. And I know I've had situations in my life where I had to really practice that. And I know I'm going to have other ones that come up again, because as soon as I think I've got this lick, that I've got this emotion under control, something comes along that reminds me that I've got to try to learn how to forgive this now too. And it can be hard. And especially when you feel that you were betrayed in any sort of way by somebody that you loved or that was close to you. Perhaps it was through a work experience, a coworker. Maybe you were fired for no reason, as far as you are concerned, and you just have this bitterness. You carry this bitterness with you, and it stifles everything that should be positive in your life. You know, the flowers don't get angry at the rain. You know, they just don't. The rain can pummel the flower, you know, and put holes all the way through it, make it even fall off the top of its stem, but it's not angry. And it never will. It doesn't experience those types of emotions. No plant does. It completely accepts, even though it's being eaten alive by bugs, it isn't angry. It doesn't accept, it just continues to grow, or it continues to go through its cycles because that's what it's supposed to do. It doesn't allow outside influences to affect it, and it just grows anyway. And I think that this can be one of the hardest ones, of letting go. We have to accept loss and we have to move on. And sometimes that can be really hard. The last thing I want to talk about today is the number 10, is love. Of course. Why wouldn't I end with love? Love is wonderful. Plant kindness, harvest love. And that's one of my favorite little quips that I have on my webpage, actually. It's on my banner that flashes. And this one's easy, really. I mean, if you're go about planting kindness, if you're always kind, the love comes back to you. It's returned to you. And in most cases, and even when it does, it doesn't matter. Because remember, that goes back to that other lesson that we have about accepting what you can control. You see, these all work together, people. All these things, all these little lessons I've learned, they build on the back of another one. The truth is that, you know, people are going to be illogical, and some are self-centered, and people are going to be critical. But love them anyway. You know, plants can receive all of your love, but refuse to grow. But you got to plant them and tend to them anyway. You have to. If you want to get anything out of it, you have to give it your love and attention, and hopefully it will be reciprocal. But even if it isn't, do it anyway. That's what you're here for, is to keep planting these seeds of love and kindness, and reach out to people and be there for them in the ways that you should be. And this also isn't just about loving others. This is about, and here's a quote, and it goes around, I think you've probably seen this one. Don't wait for someone to bring you flowers. Plant your own garden and decorate your own soul. The love of yourself, the forgiveness of yourself. We all have things that we've done that we're not proud of or wish we could have done better. But when you know better, you can do better. So do better now. Clean yourself up over a mistake in the past or unforgiveness. Love yourself. It is really one of the most amazing gifts that you could ever give yourself. And I know it sounds crazy. It's like, would you ever deny somebody that you really love your love because they did something stupid or they weren't thinking? How many times have you forgiven others the stupid things that they've done that were, you know, really made you angry and really pissed you off, but you weren't going to withhold your love from them? Of course you weren't. You just were angry about that one thing. But we do this to ourselves. We withhold love of self so often from ourselves, and we don't give ourselves that gift. This vessel, this body that you have, the soul that has the opportunity that lives in this body, has an opportunity to express itself through it. And you need to love and give back to that soul. Give back to the person, the gift of the person you are. And that person, that soul, will shine, give back to the world. And I think that this is this one can be a hard one for a lot of people. It's easy to love others. It's easy to forgive others. It's really hard to love yourself sometimes. It's really hard to forgive yourself sometimes. And I think we've all been there, and there's things that we can all look at, mistakes in our life that we could just say, geez, I wish I could do it all over again. And, you know, let that stuff come up. And when it comes up, if it still hurts, examine it and find out what the trigger points are. What is it, that emotion still wrapped around it? Is your heart still bound around an old toxic emotion that isn't setting you free? You need to unbind your heart. You need to be able to let those things go. And sometimes the reason when they come back, say it, something repeats in your life over and over again. It seems like the same theme runs through every relationship or same whatever. You know, look at that and really examine it and say, okay, what is it that I need to let go? What is it that I need to learn and let go? Maybe it's time for me to release this. Maybe the reason why it keeps happening over and over again is because I haven't learned how to let it go. What steps do I need to let it go? Is it going to be forgiveness? Is it about talking to myself and you know, nurturing myself? It's just sometimes you just got to be more caring and more easier on yourself than you usually are in order for you to move on and grow and contribute to not just yourself and to the people around you, but to the planet and the energy, that the consciousness, the oneness that we all are. And that comes from all of us putting out the good vibes. So I really hope you guys enjoyed this. We went through 10 different things and metaphors: beginning, setting goals, tending to your dreams, having patience, accepting what you can control and what you cannot, keeping it clean, which is the weeds of your mind, finding help and sharing with others, being grateful, letting go, and of course, love. So I hope you guys enjoyed this show. You know, I'm a big guru of stuff like that. I love, you know, consuming as much information about feely good quotations and stuff that makes me really think deeply about my life. And I wanted to share those with you today. So next week, I got a great guest coming on, Tanya Anderson of Lovely Greens. She's way over on the other side of the pond in the UK. I absolutely adore her. She's got fantastic recipes. She's a soap maker. She's a beekeeper. And she likes to write and blog about life living in the country. And she's really taken her passions and turned it into a business, and even selling her own products. So I really want to get her on the show, and I admire what she does, and I think you will too. So be sure to join me next week at 4 p.m. Pacific time and 7 p.m. Eastern. And remember, folks, take care of yourself. And when you see those garden metaphors, you know, look a little more deeper into it. Don't just see it as, oh, that's a great saying. Look and say, how does this mean something to me in my life? And then write it and put it on your fridge. Hope you have a great week. We will talk to you next week, next Wednesday. Thanks, everybody. And remember, when it comes to plants, think outside the pot.
Thank you for listening to Sewindipity on naturechannel.fm. Visit sewindipity.com and join our free email list for updates on shows, links to fun DIY projects, and helpful tips to help your garden grow. See you next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And remember, gardening is easy. Gardening is fun.